I don't even know how I'm going to do this. I'm just going to try to put it out there, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help us. I've seen some things, God knows, I've never seen like this. For a title, well, let me ask you something. How many of you all are believing God for something? No, honestly, I mean, you know, you're believing God for something. Have you wondered why you don't have it? I mean, honestly. I don't understand why it's in church that we don't ask the hard questions. If Dr. Hall, if Aisha was wanting something from you and you hadn't given it to her and you said you would, how long? Like Habakkuk, not long. How is it we go in God? Fear not, little flock or little children. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. If he's freely given us his Son, why is there a holdup on anything else? What's greater than that? Someone talk tonight. Now, I don't know how you feeling tonight. If you sleepy, I would advise you shake yourself. If you consume with something else, I would advise you to put that on the back burner. I would act like this is an emergency tonight. So here's what I want to, here's the title. Am I opposing the kingdom movement? Am I opposing the kingdom movement? Now that's your question to answer. And I'm going to show you some things from the Word of God to consider. Okay, when I say kingdom movement, let me give you a little idea. The kingdom of God is here. But the kingdom is also coming. There is an opposition to God ruling and reigning in this world. Ever since Adam lost his place, there is opposition to God ruling and reigning. Adam, let me share something with you. Just a thought to throw this out. This is the grenade to start us off. God created a world. Genesis chapter 1. God put Adam in charge of the world. This is your domain. You rule it in my stead. Well, Adam blew it. He gave it up to Satan. Okay, that was the first Adam. Bam, second Adam. So it flips all the way back to saying, okay, this is what God's intention was, and he came through Jesus to fulfill what Adam lost. So now, am I opposing the kingdom movement? Remember, individuals are building their own kingdom. The reason they're building their own kingdom, they don't want his to come because they like the way theirs is. So we have to check ourselves, you all. Sometimes we could be building our own kingdom because we don't want. Okay, let me just fast forward you. Since we went to Genesis, let me fast forward you to Revelations. The last battle of Armageddon is a battle where kings come together with their warriors and Satan to oppose the return of Christ. Because they don't want him to rule. That is historically the nature of man. After the fall of Adam, man does not want God to rule. Whether that's individually, whether that's a village, whether that's a city, whether that's a nation, a kingdom, however you want to do that. The fallen nature of man does not want God to rule. I had to put out there because I know y'all sitting here, you know, because you don't know where I'm going yet. So I'm putting something out saying, am I opposing the kingdom movement? And you're going like, well, no, I'm saved, Pastor. I love God. Okay. I don't doubt that. Let's go to Psalm 78. Jackie, let's start verse 35. Let's try that one. I got a few other verses, so I'll just do 35. Just Psalm 78 and verse 35. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. What a way to start off. Verse 36. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth and they lied unto him with their tongues. Verse 37. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Verse 38, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. Verse 39, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. By now you know we're talking about Israel and God dealing with them. Verse 40, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Wait a minute. They were provoking God and grieving him. How are they doing this? Go to verse 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God. Listen to this. And limited the Holy One of Israel. Wait a minute. God is all powerful. He's got all the power. Shakim, all the power. How did the people limit him? The same way we limit him. I'm gonna go deep today. I want you to remember that. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Because I had to look at my life, you all. I had to repent today. I just said, God, that's me. That's me. I need the help. That's me. But one of the things about it is you've got to be mature enough that when God deal with you, you accept it. And you govern yourself accordingly. If he say change this, you change that. Amen. When you look at Adam and Eve, well, let's go. Go to Matthew 13, verse 54. Matthew 13 and 54. Remember, they limited the Holy One of Israel. People did. And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished. And they said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Verse 58, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Wasn't it Jesus had a power shortage? Look what the atmosphere was. If you go back to Psalm 78 and start from the beginning, you'll find the same atmosphere. Unbelief. Saints, we are at a time where we have to be honest. I'm going to show you some stuff tonight, and this is going to make you... Look at this. The opposition occurs because of unbelief in what God says or has done for us. It's unbelief about what God has said or has done for us. I'm going to show you in a moment. I want you to stick with me. Listen to this. We are not allowed to have any other opinion of ourselves other than the one God gave us in his word. See, most of us was looking out there at something we believe in God for. How about looking in here and what we believe about ourselves? Let's go there first. Let's really go there. How do we see ourselves? If your opinion of yourself is anything other than what the Word of God says, it's wrong. I know you want proof. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard that voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? My question, who told you you were naked? If our input about ourselves is coming from somewhere other than the word, it's wrong. Amen. Who told you that about yourself? Who said you couldn't do that? Who said you don't have enough resources? Who told you that's too big for you? Who told you you're not qualified? Oh, no. See, now I want you to hear me now. See, we were looking out there, but who told you something about you? Do you realize that Adam and Eve lost everything because the enemy told them something about themselves? You don't have everything you need. That's basically what he told her. God's holding back something. And if you just eat this piece of fruit, you will get everything you need. Not knowing they had everything they needed. The enemy's tactics has not changed. I've given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Therefore, we have everything we need. But who told you you was naked? So what are we believing about ourselves? Where's the input coming from? Okay, let's go there for a moment, Donald. So when you turn on the TV, what is it saying? Ooh, High Point's a little Chicago now. You see all of this crime? It's the most dangerous place. Who told you that? So now you're wondering about your security. You're wondering, am I safe? I thought the Lord was your protection. See, where is the input coming from? I don't know if I can go out at night anymore. I thought God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. See, where's the input? Is the coronavirus you think is here? Wow. I don't know if I want to travel at all. God has not given us a spirit of fear, so who else would be doing it? If God didn't give it to us, Marcus, if God didn't give it to us, who else could be out there doing this? Who else could be giving us input about ourselves? Got folk afraid to do all kind of stuff. Are y'all with me now? Can I go a little further now? I'm just whetting your appetite a little bit. Because I said, look, I've seen something in my own life. Now my question to you is this. First off, if our input about ourselves is coming from somewhere other than the word of God, it's wrong. Okay, but I'm going to really go there. I don't like my body. It's just, oh. I need to lose about 50 pounds. Somebody else standing in the mirror, I need to gain about 50 pounds. I'm this, I'm that. Where's the input coming from? I thought you were fearfully and wonderfully made. No, where's your input coming from? See, if the input came from the wrong place, you got a gym membership for the wrong reason. I'm not saying don't go to the gym, but the input drove you to do something that you really don't need. You're doing it for the wrong reason. See, let's talk about us. Man, I'm seeing everybody getting raises, the Lord blessing all these people. What's wrong with me? Where's your input coming from? Why do you feel something is wrong with you just because your life don't look like somebody else's? See, I'm talking about being honest between you and God. Where is the input coming from? Did God say that? Or did you get that from somebody? Now let's be honest, Donald. You know how you get on the phone with somebody, you have a little conversation, and they say, yeah, you know, man, I just bought me this new car. Boy, I love that new car. That thing is nice. Oh, it just ride a certain way. Ah! And you get off the phone, you go like, I need a new car. Ain't nothing wrong with the one you got. But the input you just received is now influencing you. Man, I just seen they got a new special coming out. I mean, you know, I go out there, no down payment. So you go out and get a car, not because you need one, but because you got an input problem. See, where is our input coming from? And if we have a deficiency in our input from the Word of God, something else is going to feel that. Something else is going to feel that. You're going to get something to make you feel secure. You're going to do something to make you feel secure if you feel insecure. See, but the Word of God should be your source of input. Somebody else said, well, you know, I'm just blessed. Wait a minute. Don't be saying that like I'm not blessed just because I don't drive what you drive. I'm no less blessed. Matter of fact, I might be more because at least I know how to, like Paul says, I know how to be abased and how to abound. You saying that because you got a little something. Are y'all with me now? Am I opposing the kingdom movement? Oh, Dr. Hall, we turn the corner. So how do we know what is correct from the input standpoint? Because, you can't think that commercials don't work. Oh, they pay too much for them not to work. Be like, man, I need that Tide with the Gains smell. Oh, come on now. You know the commercials work. So how do we know what input about ourselves is correct? I am going to present you with the greatest challenge of the rest of your spiritual walk. I'm going to present you with what the thing that, to be honest with you, the area that Christians fail in that give the enemy a foothold. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, I'm begging you, brethren, by the mercies of God, I beg you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You're not going to present your body a living sacrifice. You're not going to make it holy. It's not going to be acceptable unto God, even though that's your reasonable service or your worship. Unless you do verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Don't take this world's input. Don't let this world's input shape you. But letting you know what's coming after not being shaped by the world is more important than what preceded the but. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's your challenge. Here's your challenge for the rest of your spiritual walk. To know what's correct. What's the input that's right about me? So I ain't going out and buying a new car because I want to look a certain way. I ain't shopping and spending money that I don't have because I want to look a certain way. I want people to see me like this. Where do I get the right input? He says that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We must renew our mind. We must. See, did you get this? God saves your soul, renews our spirit, leaves our mind up to us. Whenever you see him telling us to do something, that says he ain't going to do it. If you told your children to do something, you're not going to come in there and do what you told them to do. Not without some chastisement. Because the whole point is, I told you to do that. God told each and every born-again believer to renew their mind. Why? That you may prove you want to know what's correct. You're going to know if you renew your mind. That's where you're going to know if it's the right input or not. If you renew your mind. So you can prove what is that good, what is the acceptable and perfect will of God by renewing your mind. I know you say, well, Pastor, this is so simple. Yeah, I'm just really doing so because I'm going to turn the corner here in a minute. Still going to be simple, but it's just one of those smack you in the face simples. See, here's the thing. Where's the input that if we're not renewing our mind, that means our mind is the same old nature. So you in the kingdom using an old nature, but you know old wine cannot fit in new wineskins. So why are you not getting what you want again? Bam. Matthew 4 and 17. Real familiar passage of scripture. You know we talk about this all the time. I want to show you something. I want you for a moment. Before we read this, I want you to think about a nation of people with a rich heritage, with a rich godly heritage, but they are currently oppressed by another government. They have a rich heritage. Jesus steps on the scene. Now listen. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, let me help you. Jesus steps on the scene and he says, change your mind because my kingdom is here. So, if you hear this, this changes the way you look at things. So Jesus talks a little bit about the kingdom from here on out. He preaches about it, talks about it in Matthew chapter 5, 6. But then he starts to do something. He said, I'm going to demonstrate this thing. I'm going to show them what the kingdom is like. I'm going to show them what I mean when I say my kingdom is here. You ain't going to just hear a bunch of words. People always been talking to you about some words. Let me show you. So he starts to show people what the kingdom is like. Blind eyes is open. People are raised from the dead. Folks are healed. Y'all ready? 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Remember the question we all need to answer. Am I opposing the kingdom movement? 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Anybody in here in Christ?
Yes.
Okay. The rest of y'all, we can fix that. I mean, some questions you need is interactive. This is, you know. Remember when Tom and Jerry say, is he is or is he not? You know. Is you is or is you not? Yeah. Well, y'all know. Tom and Jerry, y'all, you know, come on, Dr. Hall. Oh, see that? Come on. So, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Okay, you not remanufactured. You not remodeled. You not refurbished. New creature. Did not exist before. Okay? Old things are passed away. Now, I know y'all have heard this scripture before, but I need you to hear it tonight. Behold, all things are become new. So how can you be this new creature in this old package? Although the old stuff has passed away, you still got the old package. So what's the old stuff that's passed away? Because, I mean, when you got saved, you still got the same body. I mean, you know, they ain't like, ooh, girl, I lost all this weight when I got saved. No, you didn't. No. Your body is the same. But I'm a new creature. So what's the new and what's the old that passed away? Now watch this. First, the new creature has to do with your spirit. Our old, if you look at this, the old things was this. We were merely soulish creatures. We were moved by what we saw. We were moved by what we felt. It was just a soulish experience. My mind, my will, my intellect, my soul. That's it. It governed what you did in your body. However, all things have become new. What do you mean? There's a new sheriff in town. It's called your spirit. He, your spirit, now rules. It's no longer soulish, where it's influenced by the fleshly things around us. You have a spirit man who's in charge. That's the new way. Unless you're trying to live the old way. Unless you're still trying to let the soulless things influence you and govern how you live in the kingdom. But you do it. You got to realize now, you have a spirit. You are responsible now for renewing the mind. The mind has to do with your soul. You're not renewing your spirit. Spirit part, done. What are you going to do with your soul now? What are you going to do with your mind? You still ready to cuss everybody out? You know how to cuss still, right? Pastor, I thought you said old things have passed away. The old way of doing things should be. Unless you're going back getting them. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. Drop down a little bit more. Am I opposing the kingdom movement? 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Okay, let's look at the first part of this. For he hath made him to be sin. Okay, who is that? Jesus was made to be sin. Made to be sin. Not that he was sin, he was made to be sin. Anybody all right with that? Is anybody all right with Jesus being made to be sin? He was not sinning. He was not in sin. He was made to be sin. What I'm trying to convey to you is before he was made to be sin, he was not sinful. Is everybody okay with that? Okay. Then the Bible says, who knew no sin? Just simply bearing witness with what I just said. That we might be made the righteousness of God. You are as righteous now as you will ever be. I don't care how you feel. Hey, that ain't got nothing to do with this. Well, Pastor, you just don't. Yes, I do understand. I understand that you don't understand. See, because when are we going to believe this word? See, that's the real challenge. Are you opposing the kingdom movement? Because you refuse to believe it. You refuse to believe that you're righteous, so you won't take your rightful place. You let stuff go in your home. You let stuff go in your community. You let stuff go in your life because you refuse to take your place. You refuse to understand that you were made to be righteous. Well, I didn't do everything right. What that's got to do with it? Jesus was made to be sin. We have no problem with that. We know he knew no sin. How about this? We knew no righteousness. But we were made to be righteous. I appreciate them three or four amens. I really do. The rest of y'all, you'll get it a little bit later. Because the thing is, these are the kind of things that we're still dealing with. We're still wrestling with. God, I don't know. So you come before God in prayer begging. I thought, wait a minute. Question. When did Adam beg? If you put in charge of something, why are you begging about what to do? Told you he was going to hit you in the face later on. Why are you begging about what to do? I put you in charge. So when they leave you in charge of the department on your job, are you calling the CEO every 5 minutes? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I believe we had the wrong person in charge. Come on, Plummer. When he said, well, you know, it's your department. You mean to tell me you can't run your department? You don't know what to do in your department? See, am I opposing the kingdom movement? Because we've not renewed our mind to know what God really wants in the earth. I said, okay, Lord. Oh, yeah, I told you I repented first. I repented before I ever got to y'all. Because I said, now I see something. I'm just letting you all know this, so when you say, why is Pastor acting like this? Because now I understand some things that I didn't before. It has become so much clearer. When I was seeking the Lord this morning about, and look at this, this is my personal time. This wasn't needing to preach to y'all. No offense. Really, I wasn't needing to preach to y'all. And the first scripture he given to me was talking about that I gave you already from Matthew when he was talking about the unbelief, where Jesus himself couldn't do many mighty works because of their unbelief. And I said, because the things I was asking God for, they were beyond me, but he made me realize, okay, see the unbelief. We think of unbelief like this, Candace. We go like, well, it must be because I'm not believing about that over there. We have unbelief about who God is, especially when it comes to us. Oh, I can believe God. Oh, the Lord will use James mightily. But me? Oh, not me. Why not? Aren't y'all just as righteous as the next person? What's the difference? Why are we making celebrities in the body of Christ? What's the difference? Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, wait a minute. Okay, who is this talking about? Okay, so isn't that every believer? So every believer, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Wait a minute. So in Christ, in his place? Every believer in Christ's place? My question. Since you are an ambassador, the word ambassador implies representative. How well are you representing Christ? Years ago, we used to say this, Dr. Hall, if you were the only Christian on the planet, how would you demonstrate your Christianity? If you were the only one. See, some of us, you know, this is no offense, but I, you know, coming out of a large ministry, I saw some stuff. I saw how people can hide in church. Oh no, don't get mad. Don't get mad. I saw how people can hide in church. Not that you can't hide in a smaller church, but you know, you could just hide in a big church because you know, you say stuff like, "Oh yeah, I went to the 8 o'clock." Now you know you wasn't there. But you go like, "Well, they were at the 11 o'clock, so I just tell them I was at the 8 o'clock, so that way they know, well, we missed each other." Here's what I found. District missionary, people are hiding in the body of Christ because they're not representing Christ. They're just going on with the flow. Folks don't stand for nothing. They don't say anything. They don't declare anything unfit. They're just hiding in the body of Christ, hoping don't nothing happen. Oh, until the Lord come back and get me. How? But wait a minute. Oh, I'm about to really get to the good stuff here in a minute. I mean, not that this is not good, but I'm just saying we climbing on up here. We going to the pinnacle of this thing. Because am I opposing the kingdom movement? See, you can't sit on the sidelines with God. It don't work like that. You have folk on your job, you don't even know they're a Christian. Why is that? Oh, I go to church. So? What that mean? How well are we representing Jesus? Okay, and I know you say, well, God, I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. This will be now a good time to clear your area out. Prepare for massive repentance. Just letting you know. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. As Paul is writing to the Ephesians church, he's talking about different prayers that he's praying for. I want you to look at this one. He's saying one of his prayers is to pray, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Now, let me tell you what he's saying. The exceeding greatness of God's power that's in us who believe. Oh, Lord, send down the power. Send down. So you don't believe you have it. Because why would you ask for something that you have? He is actually praying that we will come into an understanding of the greatness of the power. Now, let's talk about what kind of power is this, Dr. Hall? I mean, come on. It's just power. So what kind of power is this? See, let me get back down here. Let me stay down here. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to the working of his mouth. Now, so he says, now, let me give you an illustration. Let me give you an illustration to know what kind of power this is. Okay? Verse 20, Miss Jackie. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. You mean to tell me Lucretia Schaefer has the same power in her that God used to raise Jesus from the dead? Y'all better look at her real good. Look at her. Look at that sister. But now every one of you all, the same power resides in you. You just had the wrong input. But I'm telling you, that's why they said these that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Because they ain't had the wrong input. The wrong input is what's kept us in here. The wrong input is what's kept us from getting what we wanted. Because you know what we were saying? I'm waiting on God. Let me give you a, okay. I called my wife today and I was telling her, I said, honey, things are going to change. I couldn't even go into all that. Okay, Ephesians 3 and 20. Now, y'all know this real familiar piece of scripture here. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let's stop right there for a minute. He is able. Come on, you sang the song. Come on, elder. He's able. Don't give up on God because he won't give up on you. Come on. All that stuff sounds real good, doesn't it? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Put all of us together, put our imagination, all of that. He said, I still got it. But here's the thing. It's according to the power that worketh in us. Can we be opposing the kingdom movement? Can we be opposing what God really want to do because we don't believe? Can it really be because we ourselves, not God, are the holdup? That the issue is falling in our lap, not God's. I want to show you something. I just want you to resonate right. Well, no, I want to saturate you for a moment in this whole power concept. Because all your life you've been told you can't do stuff. So Jesus show up in Matthew 4 and 17 and said, change the way you think it because my kingdom is here now. Forget all of that old stuff that they don't told you. My kingdom is here now. And once you become a part of my kingdom, things are different. You're not just a person with no name now. You're not just somebody that can't do nothing, can't accomplish nothing. Because I'm going to tell you stuff like greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. I'm going to tell you stuff like you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. But now, where are you getting your input from? Because if you're not renewing your mind with the word, you're going to keep seeing yourself like grasshoppers. You're going to keep wondering, can I do it? And you're going to, watch this, and you're going to keep praying, God bless me. God help me. I need this. Oh, God. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm glad you asked. I'm saying, are you opposing the kingdom movement? Stick with me. So, we see that we have power. Matthew 10 and 1. I want y'all to keep working with me. Now, if you can find, now, if you say, well, Pastor, what you're sharing is not in this word. It's not in the word. Then you off the hook. But if it's in here, you ready? And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, I have one question. Are you a disciple? Are you a follower of Christ? Okay. Well, I wasn't part of that original 12. No, you weren't born then. It's okay. But you are a disciple. And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits. Messing up some folk theology, I can tell. To cast them out and to heal. All manner of sickness and, okay, those are two Greek words. For all, they mean all. And when he had called him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Okay, when should we pray about the healing? Did you see what Jesus said? Did you see? I know. It's like I've been reading this all. I know. When did he say pray about it? He actually now understand this. He told us. This is crazy. I know, y'all. It's crazy. We all going like, oh, my goodness. I know. He told us. He said, I've given you power against unclean spirits. Cast them out. And conjunction. Add to the casting the spirits out. See, it ain't no deliverance ministry. You just do this. Well, you know they have a deliverance ministry. So do you. So does every believer. You are terror to the enemy. He knows your potential even if you don't. And to heal. No. That's you. And to heal. That's you. All manner. Now remember, this is according to the power that's working in you. So back to the question, am I opposing the kingdom movement? Because I don't believe what the word says. So, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So, well, what about this? What if a new virus come out? Is it part of all? I was talking to a friend of mine last night, and we were talking about John G. Lake. And it was with some of the doctors back when there was the bubonic plague, if I'm not mistaken, he was talking about how, you know, the bubonic plague was killing all of these people. And the doctor said they were in there, you know, I guess, you know, working with people and all that. And the doctor said, boy, it's a good thing that we vaccinated. He said, who? He said, we vaccinated. He said, I'm not vaccinated. What do I need vaccination for? He said, you see that dead corpse over there? He said, go over there and stick a syringe in it. And what killed him injected in me. So what they did is they pulled out some of his blood. They put his blood and other the corpse's fluids under microscope. Put it together. His cells killed the other cells. The power that worketh in us. See, do you believe this though? Do you believe this? Okay. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry, but you. I want to make sure you. I don't want to stop in the middle of it. I want to do this. Okay, Matthew 10:7. Go there right quick. And as you go, preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Look what Jesus is setting us up for. I want you to go and preach, and I want you to say, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Look at verse 8. Once you tell him the kingdom is here, then heal the sick. Then cleanse the lepers. Oh, yeah, if they're dead, raise them up. cast out the devils. You get this freely, so give it freely. Don't charge people to go show up. Oh, I'm going to raise the dead. I need $25,000 per dead person. Luke 10 and 9. I'm just trying to show you that this is out here. And I'm going, I got one more set of scriptures and then we're done. We'll close out with that. Luke 10 and 9. And heal the sick that are therein and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. You all, let's preach the kingdom and demonstrate it. Mark 16 and 15. We know this, but watch this. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Look at this. When you preach, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. What are we praying for them at? Lay hands on them in Jesus' name. Be healed. And they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Question. Where is Jesus now? Okay, Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father. Why is he sitting down? His work is done. So whose work? Greater works will you do? For I go to the Father. It ain't about Jesus doing this. You now are in his stead. What do you want to see? You want to see the blind eyes open? Okay. What do you want to see? What are you daring enough to believe to see? That now I see it in this word, now I know it's true. Marcus, you're in the right place at the right time. Right place at the right time. Because the answer is not coming from a doctor. It's coming from the power of God residing in us. The Bible says that when Peter was locked up, the church was praying. And an angel shows up. And let Peter get, I'm saying, God, what is wrong? What are we missing? It's belief. It's belief. Now, I'm not knocking, some things I'm not going to say right now because some of you all may take it the wrong way, and I want your faith to build up in the scriptures first. Right. I want you to build up in your faith believing what the word says. So now your task is to renew your mind in this word. You're going to have to fight for this. People are dying and all this. So what? It shall not come nigh my dwelling. I can't help what's happening to other folks. I choose to believe. Watch this. Deuteronomy 8 and 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for he giveth thee power to get wealth. You want to be wealthy? That's the power and the authority to do it right there. What are you going to do with that? Lord, I'm broke. I am. Proverbs 18 and 21, I think. Okay, the power is in you. You want to know how to get it out? Pastor, how do you do this? Bam. Ain't that amazing? But from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So see, you're going to have to put it in your heart before it come out your mouth. You got to get this word in you. You got to have the input right. Saints, we about to revolutionize the way we've been doing it right here on Main Street. Because if we hold one another accountable with this word, We can change our city, y'all. We can change our city. Because this word is powerful. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead inside of each and every one of us. I don't care. Most of us in here have a lifetime of people telling us no. People telling us we don't fit. We not this. We not. But you know what? Let's put a lifetime. The rest of our life, let's put this word in us. Where the kingdom. Jesus. You see, we don't understand this. In this sense, God literally said, the kingdom is yours. Handle it. Handle it. You don't like it? Speak to it. He told us we could talk to a mountain and it would obey. Oh, that was an allegory, Pastor. It wasn't really No, I believe it's a mountain. They can clap. They can skip. Trees clap their hands. Mountains skip. Come on. Just because you ain't seen it happen, you ain't seen your own heartbeat. Is it happening? I'm saying no. I'm going to stick with this word. I'm declaring that with his stripes, I was healed. I'm not going to be healed. Oh, I am healed. It's already done. It's already done. I'm saying there's people coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west to hear the word of God. The engrafted word of God, which is able to save their souls. Why? Because there's a word in my mouth that people need to hear. Ain't about me. If you got a problem with that, I'm sorry. Well, Pastor, you think we're going to heal people? Yes, because of the power of God that's in us. Well, Pastor, what's going to happen? They're going to be saying that we're a bunch of healers. So what? You may misinterpret what's happening, but folk going home healed. You go back to Psalm 78 and you start reading the first passage, the first part of those passages. You know what? God wants somebody to pass this thing down to the generation, next generation. Well, you got Mariah, Jordan. What are they going to know about God? Is all they going to know that we're supposed to get up and go to work and go to church and, you know, go to work and go to church and go to work and go to church? Or are they going to see the power of God? Or are they going to see that this is a kingdom life? I remember the time my wife and I, early on in our marriage, our cabinets was empty. Our cupboards. Didn't have anything. She opened them up and began to prophesy to them. See, why? I mean, come on, y'all. Look, death, life, power of the tongue. Oh, it's going to be a terrible day. Death, life, power of the tongue. Remember, this world is being upheld by the word of his power. Everything you see, God created by his word. What do you want to see created by your word? Representative? Or are we opposing the kingdom movement? I'm finished.